Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, in addressing the first problem in the Corinthian church, or at least the first problem that is addressed in the 1 Corinthian epistle, that is the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, we find that he starts by addressing the problem of divisions. A lot of problems in that church, and I don't know if that's the one that would have been most, most important to me, that I'd have to start with that one, but this seems to be, I can't say for sure that because it's first that Paul considered it the most important. He might have had some other reason for the order. But obviously it was pretty high on his list. It was very much at the forefront of his thinking because he opens the epistle and he starts talking about the problem of divisions in the church. And I actually have asked three questions of this passage. We've gone through most of it. We're going to come to the last verse today, verse 17 being the last verse in this section. But we have three questions. Number one, what about cliques? Number two, what about baptism? And number three, what about evangelism? What about cliques or divisions? And Paul deals with that, and we have already done that, shown what he means by that, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and so forth, and the problem of divisions, and he addresses that quite effectively in his response to their wrong actions, their wrong attitudes and actions in this area. But in the course of doing that, he talks about baptism, and so then that raises some questions about baptism because it comes into the passage. He asks if any of them were baptized in the name of Paul, which they were not. And then he goes on to talk about the ones he baptized and why he didn't baptize more and what he had in mind. And so baptism figures into it, and we've dealt with that now. We're not going to go back to either the cliques or the baptism, but we are going to take up the third question, which is what about evangelism? And that takes us to verse 17, which is the one we're going to be focusing on the broadcast today, which is Monday, April 19. And we are thankful that you were able to join us for this broadcast, and we are very, very grateful for those listeners whose gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Here's how Paul concludes this section. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, for the cross of Christ should be made, or rather less, the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. What about evangelism? Biblical evangelism is the proclamation of the gospel. What God has done in Christ to rescue sinners, that's biblical evangelism. Now, that sounds very obvious, but it really needs to be emphasized, and various things that are called evangelism, various activities that are said to be evangelism, need to be evaluated according to this statement, that biblical evangelism is the proclamation of the gospel. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So, let's be more specific here. Biblical evangelism is not feeding the hungry. Now listen to me. Biblical evangelism is not digging wells in remote villages where people don't have good drinking water. Biblical evangelism is not providing clothes for people who are not warm, not adequately clothed, and so forth. Now, it is very possible and sometimes very advantageous to do some of those activities as a way of getting a hearing for the gospel. But what concerns me is that some people seem to act as if offering a helping hand in these areas is evangelism. If we will do that, then they will see the love of Christ in us, and they will want to know why we have been kind to them, and so we have evangelized in that way. No, you provided an opportunity for evangelism, and be sure that you take advantage of the opportunity to what? To preach the gospel. Evangelism is the proclamation of the gospel, the declaration of what God has done in Christ to rescue sinners. That's it. So if you see people who are hungry and you want to set up some kind of a food program to feed them, don't call it evangelism unless that becomes an opening. You gather people into a dining room and you feed them and say, now while you are eating your meal, I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what Christ did, who he is, and what he did to rescue sinners, and proclaim the gospel. And likewise with any of the other things, digging wells, providing clothing, on and on and on it goes. Make sure you don't mistakenly think that the activity of benevolence, as wonderful as that is a form of evangelism, or it is in some way a replacement for evangelism. We sometimes hear the statement, let me see if I can call it up in my mind right now. We sometimes hear the statement, evangelize every day, and if necessary, use words. Or preach the gospel. That's more accurate. I'm trying to remember the exact phraseology. It's usually stated this way. Preach the gospel every day, and if necessary, use words. That is wrong. You've heard it, I'm sure. That is wrong. It sounds good until you think about it for a moment. Preach the gospel every day, and if necessary, use words. In other words, you preach the gospel by your actions. You preach your gospel by your kindness. You preach the gospel by your benevolence. You preach the gospel by your help. And if it becomes necessary, use words. No. The Bible's very clear. The only way to preach the gospel is by using words. You don't communicate the gospel by kind deeds. You demonstrate the love of Christ. You create an opportunity to proclaim the gospel, but you have not preached the gospel. You have not evangelized until you have proclaimed the message of what God has done in Christ to rescue sinners. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He didn't say, but to live the gospel. That's the way some people interpret it or misinterpret it or change it or emphasize it erroneously and mislead people into thinking, into not even understanding what it means to preach the gospel. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to not live the gospel, but to preach the gospel. And he goes on to make it clear that he's talking about verbal communication, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. So biblical evangelism, number one, is the proclamation of the gospel. Biblical evangelism, number two, needs, and listen to me now, this is very important, needs no human embellishments. What do I mean by that, and where do I get that? Well, it's what he says next. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. One translation says, renders that, not in cleverness of speech. In other words, the work of evangelism is in proclamation, not promotion, no matter how clever those promotions might be. The work of evangelism is proclamation, not alteration, no matter how well-intended that may be. Not by altering the message in order to make it more appealing, more acceptable. We are not editors. We are ambassadors. An ambassador is one who delivers the message that is delivered to him. An ambassador represents the king to somebody else. He goes to another country and he delivers the message that is given to him by his government to that government. He's not free to change that. His responsibility is to deliver faithfully and accurately the message that has been entrusted to him. And that's my responsibility, and that's your responsibility. The work of evangelism is proclamation, not promotion, not clever programs and promotions to somehow make the proclamation of the gospel more effective. You can't make the gospel more effective by anything except by prayer. That's how you make it more effective. The only thing that makes it more effective is a greater activity of the Holy Spirit and empowering it. Sometimes when you preach the gospel, he does not attend it with his life-giving power. Other times when you preach the gospel, he does. That's not in your hands, that's in his hands, but you can pray, and we are commanded to do that, encouraged to do that. But it is in proclamation, not promotion. It is in proclamation, not alteration. Biblical evangelism needs no human embellishments. In fact, not only does it not need any human embellishments, but as we read here, human embellishments reduce the power of the gospel. Far from enlarging the power of the gospel, as some people mistakenly think, it actually reduces it. Not with the wisdom of words, lest, listen to the words of Paul here, lest the cross of Christ be made of no effect. If you do this proclamation with the wisdom of words, that is, the cleverness of speech, finding a more clever way to preach this message because the old straightforward way is no longer acceptable. It no longer works in our society today. Times have changed, and so this doesn't work anymore today. So we've got to change it. We're not really changing anything substantial, but we're just making some alterations to make it a little more appealing. Cleverness of speech. But that not only is not necessary, but it's actually detrimental. That the cross of Christ should not be made void, powerless, inoperative. That it should not lose divine blessing and power. Evangelism must center on the gospel. And you can never exhaust the gospel, and you can never grow beyond the gospel. That's what Paul says in this verse about biblical evangelism. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.